Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Leona Abraham Brando, and I am your host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Today we have on with us for the second time Nancy Roberts, a social worker and longtime advocate for prisoners. Nancy will be discussing major developing stories related to abuses in the penal system and in the streets, whereby the perpetrators are not always who members of society think. We have so many things going on in this country. In the past 20 years, things have gotten worse than ever before. We have a mass incarceration rate, more so than any other country in the world. We have abuses going on in the prisons. We have deprivations, provocations. We have prisoners being set up. We have prisoners committing suicide or allegedly committing suicide. We have police brutality. We have so many things going on with the overseers who are supposed to be helping these prisoners, helping these people. And none of them are getting anywhere but worse than when they went in. So we will be discussing today some of the things that Nancy has done throughout her years as a social worker and also as a prisoner advocate. So let's welcome Nancy. Nancy, are you on with us?
I am on. How are you this evening?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for the warm introduction. Welcome, everyone. And I would so many things we can talk about tonight. If you just want to give me a hint or a, not even a hint, just let me know what you want to hear. We had a lot of stuff going on this week, this past week, so we have a lot of stuff we
last
can discuss.
The last time we had you on the show, you were going to be discussing some of the current events in the issue that went on in Pennsylvania with the young man that got shot in the back.
Yes, yes. So the trial started last week, and the city was absolutely completely shut down. They had, all the streets blocked off. They pulled out all the bells and whistles. They did not want, any protesting and the young man's mother requested that they, respect her and respect the trial process. And unfortunately, the police officer who has had several jobs in the police force with different departments and who have been let go from every department was, in fact, charged with the murder of Antoine Rose for shooting a young 17-year-old young man. If listeners aren't up to breath on this, a 17-year-old young man running away, got out of a car, his friends are running, and there was a woman who was actually on her porch doing yoga and was turned on her phone because she couldn't believe all the police action, and literally watched him. He got literally 3 or 4 steps away from the car running away from the police officer, and he shot him 3 times in the back and killed him. He was acquitted on Friday for the murder. He was charged with criminal homicide, manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, pretty much every form of homicide in the state of Pennsylvania. He got found not guilty on all charges, which is unspeakable. Listeners, you can Google or YouTube Antoine Rose, and unfortunately, in our city, they replay the video over and over and over and over again. You can literally see the young man who shot, and
the last time we spoke, you had mentioned, and we had discussed the issue of these young males being shot down in the back, and the number of acquittals that have been going on throughout these years. And we talked about that briefly, and I wanted to find out, the jurors, you had mentioned something about the jurors being brought in from another territory for that event.
That, and unfortunately, and it is within everybody's right to have a jury of their peers and an impartial jury, so they would never find an impartial person in the city, so they had to go into the middle of Pennsylvania to find 12 people to bring in who had never heard of Antoine Rose or this police officer or this police department. And the trial lasted for a week. The jury was given closing arguments at about noon. They went into deliberate at 1. By 6, 7 o'clock, they had a verdict. And keep in mind, they eat lunch first and they do all this. Like, they don't just go in and automatically jump in and start deliberating. So they probably deliberated for a total of 3 to 4 hours at best with an obnoxious amount of evidence, including the video where you can't dispute a video of a man being shot in the back running away. A kid. This was a small kid. He wasn't like a 6'9" basketball player or anything. He was a tiny 17-year-old child. And the jury knew that if they were permitted to go home, they were going to take them home that night. And they came with the conclusion that the police officer was justified in shooting him in the back, still unclear as to why. They found him not guilty. I don't think they returned the jurors to their prospective homes, and nobody has ever found out why they felt like this was a justified shooting. The kid was not armed. He was unarmed. He was running away. It was just such a sad situation, and I think the whole city as a whole kind of has a big broken heart. I think everybody wanted to believe that this was the time. This was a time when somebody was going to be held accountable. And true to form, that did not happen. And it caused a lot of protests in a very peaceful way. And a group of Antoine's peers and a bunch of high school students from all throughout the city descended upon the downtown area of the city of Pittsburgh and did a very peaceful march where they all races, all sizes, this was not, Antoine was, of course, an African-American male. The police officer was, of course, a Caucasian male and had just been sworn on the job that night. And was given a cruiser by himself, no partner, nothing, and sent out on his merry way. He still has other court cases pending against him in the other jurisdictions where he was a police officer, so there's no surprise there. And they all descended, and they did a very peaceful march, and it was a beautiful thing to see people. It was almost reminiscent, and I could be like, you know, like, I remember the days when marches were peaceful. I remember the days where, you know, it was more about getting your voice heard, and then there was no looting. None of that happened.
You mentioned that he had just gotten sworn in hours before
hours before.
And yes. he was fairly a new police officer.
He was a new police officer for that particular area, East Pittsburgh, but he was not a new police officer. He had been discharged from several other jurisdictions within the city of Pittsburgh. He was never a Pittsburgh police officer. He was never an Allegheny County police officer. He worked for little boroughs and towns and, you know, I guess wreaked havoc everywhere he went, and this was the coup d'etat of his career, was to shoot an unarmed black child in the back, not once, but 3 times. And it baffles me. It really does. It baffles me and it saddens me that someone can look at this video and say, yeah, I can see why he did that. I can never see why he felt threatened. I can never see why he felt like he was doing his job. His job was to apprehend. If he did, let's just say, and this is not what happened, but I'm going to play devil's advocate. Let's just say Antoine went and robbed a bank and, you know, shot out the window of the 18 houses or whatever the case may be. Your job as a police officer is not to shoot and kill the person. Your job as a police officer is to apprehend them properly. That did not happen at all. Instead of even, he didn't chase after him, he didn't do anything. He drew his gun and shot him in the back. He was judge, jury, and executioner right at that moment. And
you know,
it's so unfortunate.
It is. And the thing is, I'd like to focus a little bit on the jurors, not just in his case, but in other cases. When they bring in jury people from the jury to make these major decisions about someone's fate, I find that a lot of times there's something that's not right with the jurors. I find sometimes that they have someone that's overseeing or leading the jurors that are amongst the jurors that have some connection in some way with the courts or with the prosecutor, because it's happening too many times that these overseers are getting away with a lot. And I'm not only talking about Trayvon, Antoine, or other black males. I'm talking about people in general who are incarcerated, serving long sentences, being abused,
right,
being deprived, being neglected, being, you know,
right,
set up. And the jury, even when they file lawsuits or they try to do something against these the staff members that are causing the injustice, the courts always seem to side with the ones that are government leaders or government employees.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
regardless of, in this case with these young men that are being shot down in the back, the prisoners that are being abused or deprived or provoked, those who are going to court because they're being charged with some kind of offense. And yet it seems like the jurors are always, in many cases, are always going against the offenders, not looking at all the details. Now, what do you think about that?
I think that I have always been a proponent. You know, I'm a big advocate of ending life without parole. Pennsylvania and a couple other states are the only states that have life with. In Pennsylvania is life. You spend the rest of you die in prison, essentially. I'm a huge advocate of abolishing that barbaric thought process. Statistically, you know, across the board, we can talk about that on hours on end as to how it doesn't work. Prison itself doesn't work. It's never stopped one person from committing a crime. Never once. So it's a broken, broke-down, defective system that is not working, that is, you know, it's one of those things that this is just the way it is kind of thing. And once somebody gets labeled as a felon or a criminal or whatever, it doesn't matter what they say, they're always going to be looked at as the felon. They're lying.
And there's
this
stereotype. Prison
yes.
is a stereotype.
And
they don't look
asked,
at the
yeah.
individual situation.
No, because it's never an individual situation. It's almost like no matter what the situation is, and we know for a certain it's probably a lot higher than this, but the last time I checked, there's 5%, and people are like, that's really not a lot. That's a hell of a lot of innocent people, as far as I'm concerned. You look at Pennsylvania and Florida being the two top states that incarcerate, you know, the majority of people, and the majority of people in Pennsylvania and Florida are people of color that are incarcerated. So you look at the state of Pennsylvania, for example. We incarcerate more people than any other state outside of Florida. 5% of the people in the state correctional institutions are innocent. And someone had the nerve to say to me, that's not a lot. That's really not a lot. It's 1%, one person too many. Imagine if that was their child sitting in a 4x4 unhealthy situation cell where they can't even stretch their arms out and they get no health care at all, none, and the health care they do get they have to actually pay for, and it's so absurd. And people can justify it, and I've had people try to justify it to me over and over and over again, and I can come back with them over and over and over again. But it's that mentality of you will pay for this. And I've even had somebody say to me one time, and I thought unbelievable, when I go into the statistics of just the 5% being innocent, they did not commit a crime, and somebody said, well, they probably did something.
You know, someone mentioned to me today earlier, they said no individual is born and with the intention of someday committing a crime or being in prison.
Oh, absolutely not.
Growing up expects to. Things happen. And when I see a lot of these politicians, a lot of these people in government positions, lately there's been an awful lot of them. They've been finding all of them guilty, and they're either serving
absolutely
so little time or they're being able to get away with it. And one of the things I have a problem with, I believe all prisoners we have an epidemic of addictions in this country, and we have
absolutely
an epidemic of mental health issues, whether it's serious
absolutely
psychological issues, mentally ill, whatever it might be. And I think the prison should
just
be replaced.
People coming from
they need
trauma
to be replaced with long-term residential treatment programs with that entails having, you know, psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, you know, even if they have to have guards there. But they have to be inside a place where they're going to get appropriate treatment. And what they're doing is going
on. And what's ironic with you saying that is, and I agree with you 120%, was the state of Pennsylvania was sued a couple years back for not providing appropriate mental health care. So I gave it a couple years, and I interviewed a state correctional officer from Fayette Prison, and not Fayette Prison in Fayette County, but our state correctional institution in Fayette County. And I asked her, and she promised me that I would never say her name, and I will honor that. I asked her, I said, what happens? What does the mental health care look like? And she said she grabbed a clipboard and she walked and she tapped on a window and she said, are you okay? Okay, thank you. Are you okay? Go to the next one. Are you okay? And that's their mental health care. That's it. That is it. They have not fixed.
There are so many people who work for the prisons that there have been, and I know of some, that have worked in a prison, and they were too afraid to speak about what they saw. A lot of them end up committing suicide because they cannot deal with the abuses that they see these prison officials and guards do with these prisoners. They are so afraid to say anything because of the union being so big, or because of them being afraid of losing their job or being harmed themselves. And this is outrageous.
Right. And not just that. I mean, when you look at, you know, correctional officers, they're no different from police officers. They have that, that you know, we don't tell on each other kind of mentality. If you look at, you know, the gentleman that filed the lawsuit in California, he was a correctional officer because they were pitting people, one person, and betting on who's going to kill which inmates. They put them in a little room and they let them fight until one of them kills the other one, and they keep bets on it. But the prisoners are the ones that are supposed to be barbaric, correct?
Yeah.
The prisoners are the ones that are supposed to be barbaric. And yet,
we spoke about the media, too. The media needs to get in there. The media needs to make it a demand to go into these prisons and not meet with the prisoners, the officials or the guards, to meet with the prisoners themselves.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's
absolutely. When you watch shows like Lock Up and different things like that, those things are edited out the wazoo. I'm sure there are things that the prisoners say to the lockup producers and the film crew that will never, never make it on television because it would implode that entire penal system as the joke that it really is.
We spoke the other day as well on the and this is it's disgusting really because we spoke about these people that are on CNN News and on all of these radio shows and television shows.
Mm-hmm.
They call them experts in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people that probably have never met with a prisoner, never mind a lot of them. But they call these people experts. And the only experts that can talk about the prison issues and what goes on are the people that are going through it and their loved ones. And just like with counselors, the best counselors for substance abuse are counselors that have been through it themselves, you know,
right.
And they have
right.
social workers, the same thing. You have to be able
right.
to experience some of these things. And these expert people that they bring on their shows, I just laugh about it because they don't really know what they're talking about, but they're just talking.
No.
And they have never spoken with prisoners, but they have spoken with the people that oversee the prisoners, just like the media. They're going to believe what they hear rather
right.
than what they actually go into and talk with these people that they're talking about. You want to get into the minds of a criminal, go and meet with the criminal. Go and meet with the person you're
exactly.
judging.
Exactly. And I promise you, you will find that just what you said earlier, that there's always a reason for it. Whether we'd like to hear what that reason is or not, I had a client that I worked with for years, and I asked him, I call him an ex-felon because he's not a felon anymore. He did his time. It's done. And I said, what caused you to offend in the first place? Like, what is your trigger so that we can work on, you know, I didn't know if it was, you know, alcohol or mental health. And he said, my mother was addicted to drugs, and I came home, and I saw my little brother eating roaches off the floor. And I said, you know what, there's pretty much nothing I can say to that. I probably, in his same situation, would have done the same thing. I would have went out and did whatever I had to do, be it rob the grocery store for bread and milk or whatever the case may be, so that I never had to see my siblings eating insects off the floor. He could not control his mother and his mother's addiction, but he could help. He was the oldest. He could help his siblings in whatever way he felt that looked like. And, you know, he's not going to get a six-year job. Our education system is, especially in our impoverished neighborhood, is garbage at best. And he was in a situation where that's what he felt like he had to do. He had to go steal. He had to go rob. He had to go. And I couldn't even say to him, well, you know, I couldn't. Because I don't know if I would do anything differently in that same situation. And
you know,
I
focus more on the treatment and because
right.
everyone
right.
makes mistakes. As I said, there was we need to have a society that rather than judge and rather than talk and rather than be a part of the problem, but rather than put up the stumbling blocks for these individuals that
right.
end up in
They're
prison or end up committing suicide. They need to do more. And I'll tell you, it's not just the government as far as the law enforcement. It's not just as far as the prison officials. It's the organizations out there that claim that they're doing so much for people. They're getting funding for
can
it,
I,
and they're doing nothing.
Yes.
And the fact is,
I wish I could tell you how many people that I've run into that, oh, my goodness, this is what you're fighting for. This is your cause. Yeah, would you like to help?
Again,
no,
they say beauty is only
deep.
And what happens is people in society, they're always looking for those that look good on the outside, those who are famous or those who have money or those who are dressing well or whatever. And they don't realize that what they're looking at on the outside is not what's on the inside in many cases.
No.
But they prefer to
and
prefer to choose.
And it's sad because, you know, when I do speak to people and I do explain to people that, you know, I'm advocating for, you know, people who are considered, you know, horrible individuals. They kill someone or they get accused of killing someone or they were just not hearing when someone was killed and they have a life sentence now. They judge me and they know they don't, they look at me as I'm crazy or I'm, you know, how could you do this? What is it? You know, I mean, I've heard so many things and I'm like, who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? I'm not judging them. Why are you judging them? And to be honest with you, I've met a lot of people who, if it was my child that was killed, and that's what they the first thing, what if it was your kid that was killed? If it was, I still wouldn't want a person to live the rest of their life in a torturous, inhumane, unlivable condition because it's not going to bring my child back. And what if this person, do your time, do your time, whatever it is, get out and have, and well, who's to say that that person is not going to, statistics will show you over and over and over again, people who go commit very heinous crimes don't ever do it again. It's the people that are robbing and stealing and writing bad checks, you know, or molesting children, they're going to continue to do that. But they look at the people, you know, they classify people in areas where it's so offensive. And then I've had people stop, wouldn't talk to me anymore, wouldn't listen to me anymore, because they don't want to hear it.
We have to close again. Nancy, if we can pick up on this next Monday, same time.
Absolutely.
And go over some of these other issues. We have like 20 seconds left.
Okay.
We started a little late. But it was nice having you on, and hopefully we'll be able to.
I love being on. It is such a refreshing thing. It's such a great thing that you're doing, and I really appreciate you having me on.
I really appreciate your coming on with us, and I thank you so much. And we will talk with you next Monday.
Sounds perfect.
Okay, thank you so much, Nancy.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.